Book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'll talk with you today about a situation that Jesus experienced when he was talking about the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is known today as Turkey, where these seven churches were located in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. I'm going to talk with you today about the last church that Jesus talked about. He was talking about these seven churches, and he was talking about their strengths and their weaknesses, like the church at Ephesus had lost its first love. That was back in the first century. And as the centuries have gone by, each one of these churches represents how the church is operating or related to the world up until the revelation dealing with the church of the Laodiceans, the seventh church. And this church is known as the lukewarm church. That church started somewhere in the 1900s, maybe around 1900s. And as the cults invaded this country, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Scientologists, and many, many others, some 500 more different cults in our country today, a lot of them coming from the European countries. And so there's a lot of different kind of churches in America today teaching different things. And the church, these seven churches are supposed to be the seven churches of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about the seventh church today, and that's the church that's in the world now. Did you know we're in the seventh church now, the Laodicean church? Well, what is it that's characteristic with the Laodicean church? What are they known for? Being lukewarm. What does that mean, preacher? I can take it or leave it. Isn't that the way you find most people today? I can take it or leave it. So, I have entitled our thoughts today, The Self-Satisfied Church. The Self-Satisfied Church. The word Laodicea means people ruling. In other words, if you know anything about churches today, a lot of people want to go to a church that fits them. They're not interested in where it's teaching the Word of God or not. They want to know, has it got things for the young people? I've had people to leave our church because we didn't have enough things for the young people. Does it have sports activities, or does it have this program? And so people hunt churches based on that. Listen to me this morning. Church is not about sports programs. Church is about coming and worshiping God Almighty through Jesus Christ and learning what this book has to say. This book, we're going to be judged by it one day. Amen. We should be always be in a church that is preaching this book, because it's the only book that's true in the world. And we everyone need it. There's no exceptions, folks. We all are made just alike. Every one of us is just alike. We just look different. Amen. But we're alike. We all have the same needs. Even Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he had needs too. And so we're going to be talking about the self-satisfied church. And when I say self-satisfied, I'm talking about church in general now, the churches that are supposed to be the churches of Jesus Christ. So the word Laodicea means people ruling. So as I was saying, a lot of people are looking for a church that they can control what's going on there rather than letting the Word of God control what's going on there, okay? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." In 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see the divine order there that God has established? Jesus is addressing this church and revealing to them their spiritual condition. That's what he did with all seven of those churches in Revelations 2 and 3. He's telling them their shortcomings and the things they're doing right. So we're talking about the seventh church, the Laodicean church, the church of our age in which we're living today. Jesus knows each one of us is spiritual condition. Do you ever check on your spiritual condition? Do you ever think about it? You know, the Bible says examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. A lot of these folks at the Laodicean church, from what it says, don't seem to be even in the faith. They're in that church, and a lot of folks can be in church and be calling themselves Christian. That don't make you a Christian, calling yourself one. But the Lord knows our spiritual condition. Are we selfish people, greedy people, proud people, stubborn people, lustful people, prejudiced, immature, etc., etc.? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? How do you do that? Studying His Word. Hearing His Word proclaimed. Feeding our souls with God's Word is what all of us need. No exception. For one thing, this church was not as spiritual as they thought themselves to be. Now, they thought they were really doing good. But the Lord revealed to them they were not doing as well as they thought. Let's look in our Bible in chapter 3 now, and look down at verse 14. "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Do you like to drink water that's kind of hot? We all look for that ice to go in it, don't we? Well, the Lord said, "Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew or vomit you out of my mouth." He's told the church this now, folks. "Not because you're saying, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." They thought they didn't need anything. You know, a lot of folks like that today, they don't think they need the Word of God. They don't think they need to really go to church. Jesus said, "Because you're saying, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Jesus said, that's the way you really are. You're not what you're assuming you are. My, that's bad, isn't it, folks, when you're talking to your Creator and He's looking at you. They were satisfied with the way things were at Laodicea because they were a wealthy church. They were very wealthy. They had bankers. They had a medical school there. They had popular eye salve. A lot of people had eye problems back in that day, and they had developed an eye salve that was very effective. And they had even a textile industry in Laodicea. And it was a wealthy city with a wealthy church full of people. And Jesus said about that wealthy church there, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Let me ask y'all something this morning, church. Are you satisfied with your church? Are you satisfied with the way you treat Jesus? One of the ways we love God is by being faithful. The truth is, we should never be satisfied where we're at spiritually. We should be continually trying to grow in the Lord, because Jesus is our example. It's hard work to discipline yourself, to try to control your temper, your thoughts, the way we talk. It's difficult. Look what Moses did today in our Sunday school lesson. As the Bible says, he was the meekest of men. And yet that one time, he got so fed up, he let it fly. He struck that rock twice, and he was only supposed to speak to it. See, we're none of us have reached the top, but it's our responsibility to try to keep growing in the Lord. And the more you know about the Lord from this old book, the more wonderful it is, folks. Y'all just don't, maybe you do, but maybe some of you don't realize it's going to be so wonderful when we leave this world. And all of us are taking something to stay here longer. We need to be taking something to get yonder quicker, amen? Because it's going to be something, folks. Amen. We should never be satisfied where we're at spiritually. We should be wanting to get closer to the Lord. We should be wanting to please the Lord, church. We should be wanting others to know the Lord. Our world is on the way to hell because people don't know the Lord. And they don't want to know the Lord. We should be praying and working to make our church and ourselves what the Lord wants it to be. The church here is not church. This is just a building. You are the church as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're the church. You're the body of Christ. All of us that's been saved make up the church that's going to be going to heaven. The people Laodicea were attending a church, but they were not a spiritual people. In their pride, they felt they were doing a great job because they had a large congregation. A large congregation don't mean they're doing what God wants, folks. Going to church is more of a habit to many people. We've got used to going, we just keep going. We get to see somebody, hadn't seen all week maybe. But a lot of folks, going to church is just a habit, or when they want to go, if nothing else pushes them. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, he told that church. You're unacceptable. Wouldn't that be horrible news, church? That when you died, you come up to the judgment and you're unacceptable. There's going to be a lot of people like that, unacceptable. These people were satisfied with the way they were living, but Jesus said, "You make me sick." There's nothing worse than spiritual pride. We go to church to learn. That's why it's so important that you read your lessons. Hear it taught. Thank you, Johnny, for all you do to get it out. We come to church to learn. We come to church to pray. When someone is leading in prayer, you ought to be praying with them. Praying, talking to God yourself. Repenting in your heart yourself. That's what we're coming to church to. We've come before God Almighty. You may not see Him, but He's here. Y'all understand He's here? We should not only repent, we should be giving Him thanks. We should be worshiping Him that He would accept somebody like me. We better humble ourselves, folks. We're not nothing special. But He still loves us. And we should love Him. We should love Him. We should humble ourselves before God. We don't have a thing to give God, folks. He's given us everything we have. We should humble ourselves before God and repent of failing to worship Him as we should. Coming to church should remind us of these things, folks. It should be challenging us, church, to live a holy life, a godly life, a Christ-honoring life, and not bringing reproach to Him. Let me ask all of us today, do you read your Bible at home? You ever read your Bible at home? Do you pray for the members of our church? Do you pray for our country, our soldiers, our missionaries, our sick? Do you pray faithfully for these people in the Salvation Box? The people at Laodicea thought because they were wealthy and blessed with material things, well, we must be pleasing God. Wealth don't have a thing with pleasing God, church. The Bible says God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Amen. Wealth often causes one to treasure their possessions more than their spiritual condition. All these people with the millions of dollars and the billions of dollars, when they die, did you know they don't take a cent with them? But at the judgment, they got to give an account how they used every cent of it. Jesus said, "This church makes me sick," and He's going to reject them from His company. Making the Lord sick is not because they were backsliders, but because they lack genuine faith in the Lord. Do you really have faith in the Lord this morning? Coming to church is time to hear God's word and search our hearts. How is it with me and the Lord today? How is it with me and the Lord today? There will be many people who think they're going to heaven, but too late will find themselves separated from God forever when they die. They just had religion. They had never trusted Jesus. Jesus is our Savior, folks. Jesus really left the Father's bosom and came down to this earth, born of a virgin. And we're going to be soon celebrating that birth. He came down into this world because we were in a helpless condition. You couldn't do anything about your sin, and I can't do anything about my sin. Turning over a new leaf won't get rid of it. Getting educated won't get rid of it. Getting religious won't get rid of it. It would take the blood of the Son of God to get rid of my sin. Amen. Your sin. For everybody. We're all alike. They never trusted Jesus. Now let me ask you something today. Here we are, a body of believers gathered, a body of people gathered together. You might not think it's a good question, but I'm going to ask it. Have you really repented of your sin and asked Jesus to save you, really? You're trusting Jesus to save you? That's what church is about, folks. Examine yourself. Today is the day to examine ourselves. Think of all the religions in the world. According to some estimates, listen to this. There are roughly 4,200 different religions, churches, denominations, religious bodies, and faith groups in the world. 4,200 different religions. And there is only one that God accepts. Jesus Christ as our Savior. All these other people are going to perish if they don't see the light, folks. You think about, right now you sit there in your seat and you look at me. You ought to thank God you got to hear the Bible preached somewhere along the way and told you the truth about salvation. You're highly blessed among peoples of the world. Amen. You're highly blessed. There's only one true church. It's Jesus' church, made up of born-again believers. That's what makes his church. Born-again believers. They've turned from sin, been blood-washed, blood-bought, put in the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He puts us in Christ. The moment you're saved, he puts you in right then. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we're in him right now. In truth, we're in him right now. That's the reason our salvation is secure. You can't get out once you get in. I know those people don't know no better than to teach you to get lost. Never found one person in the Bible that ever got lost after they got saved. Not even one. But some people, they claim you can, but they can't. Not if you're saved. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Matthew 7:13-14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. So I just told you about all the religions in the world. So what Jesus said, he knew about, didn't he? 4,200 different religions in the world. Brought the broad way. I got religion. Or I don't even want a religion. But everybody's got a religion. Whether you look at it or not. Because you got a belief system. You got something you believe. That's your religion. You got something you're putting before God. That's your religion. It doesn't seem many people are looking for the narrow gate today, do they? Like I've said many times, when I was growing up, people would come to church sometimes, and especially when you had revivals, I got to go to church and get saved. People don't say that no more. I can't even remember the last time someone even thought of that. I got to go to church and get saved. Folks, you don't have to go to church to get saved. My daddy said he got saved out in the field plowing with the mule. You can get saved anywhere. You ain't got to go to church to get saved. You can get saved cutting ditch banks, riding a tractor. There ain't no special place you got to be. You just got to know, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm going to hell if I don't get saved. And I'm going to repent of my sin that Jesus has saved me, and he'll save you right there. Now, the Laodicean church appears to be an apostate church. This is the kind of church there will be when Jesus raptures his church. Because a lot of churches today are not Bible churches. They're social gathering places. They're cults. Oh, they're people where you're supposed to be saved, but you got to work and keep your salvation by your works. That's as phony as a $3 bill. You can't do anything to stay saved or get saved. The only thing you can do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's God that give you the faith to believe. We don't have a thing to do with our salvation. God does it all through Christ and the Holy Spirit. We got to hear the gospel. If he don't give you the gospel about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you can't get saved. But once you hear the gospel, see, he gave you the gospel to hear it. Well, then he takes his Holy Spirit and convicts you. Hey, I need to get saved, but I'm going to wait the next Sunday. And next Sunday, I don't feel like it today. I'm going to wait the next Sunday. People resist the Holy Spirit. Ain't that sad? And then they wind up not getting saved. A minister by the name of Bonhoeffer, the great German pastor, theologian, and later martyred, was asked in 1943, how was it possible for the church to sit back and let Hitler seize absolute power? And Bonhoeffer said, it's the teaching of cheap grace that caused the people to be deceived by Hitler. Cheap grace. Cheap grace is this: preaching forgiveness without repentance of sin. You say, I believe in Jesus, but you don't ever repent? Well, your belief is not sufficient. You have to repent. You have to humble yourself before God and acknowledge you're a sinner. If you don't do that, you ain't going to be saved. Now, that's not maybe good English, but you know what I said, don't you? If you don't humble yourself and repent, you can't be saved. I mean, that's pure Bible, folks. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. You got to humble yourself before God. God is a holy being, folks. This is what's happened to churches today. We've got a lot of churches. They're making everything so it won't offend anybody. And everybody will feel free to come in and sit down in the church, and I won't get my feelings hurt with the Bible because he's not going to say anything to offend me. Well, folks, I don't deliberately say anything to defend people. I just preach what the Bible says. I'm afraid there are too many people who are members of churches of different persuasions who think they are saved, but they're not. There's no shortcut to being to salvation. There's no shortcuts. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace Are you saved through faith? We don't deserve to be saved, Paul said. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. It's give to you. If we'll believe on Jesus Christ. Repent of our sin. Believe on Jesus Christ. It's not of works, Paul said. Lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to walk up to God at the judgment and say, oh, aren't you glad I held out and I held on and I done that? No, nobody's going to do that. No. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man or woman cometh to the Father but by me. We must come to the cross of Jesus to be saved. Let's pause here a minute. Think about the cross of Jesus Christ. Up on the wall there, we got a cross. Did you know he volunteered for that cross? How many of us want to volunteer to suffer? I don't want any kind of pain myself. What about you? Amen. But Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven for the purpose of suffering and then die. Dying for a world. Look at our world today. Look at the headlines today. So-and-so in some city, 3 killed, 10 killed, riots. Oh, look what happened in California the other day. They just went in there and just hauled out all the people's merchandise. And they didn't do a thing to stop them. Folks, we're getting close to the end of the age. It's at the door, folks. Lord, wait a little while, let me get done here. But, you know, it's getting close. And the way they're shooting at Israel over there and plotting against Israel over there, folks, we can leave this world at any moment. Amen. We can leave it at any moment. But Jesus Christ volunteered to come and die on a cross and suffer like he suffered, like no man has ever suffered. Now, there's a lot of humans that suffered in this world. They've been persecuted. Oh, yes, but not like Jesus, because Jesus is the only person to have the wrath of God fall on him. Think about the wrath of God Almighty falling on him. His own son. Why? Because of me. And you. To pay for all of our sin. We don't think we're so bad. We're moral people. We try to live right, do right. But God sees our heart, don't he? He sees in our heart things that we don't want to admit. We're sinners. We can't change it. Only God can change it. But for God to change it, it took a cross for his son. For his son. Would I want my son to suffer like that? No. You wouldn't want your child to suffer. But God suffered to let his son suffer. That's why we're called to trust him. To obey him. I love that song. One of our standard, trust and obey. There's no other way. What a song. What a great song. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Only God could transfer all of our sin over to his son. Hanging on the cross. But God was able to transfer all the sins of the human family, put them on Jesus, and judge Jesus. And God did with man's sin problem forever. I love the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It talks about that. I don't have time to go there. Oh, but God dealt with sin one time and it's forever done now. Isn't that great? Yeah. That we being dead to sin, all we can do is sin. We don't know nothing else to do but sin because we're sinners. Should live under righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. And I've said many times, by whose stripes you were healed means some of these churches, they always use that to talk about physical healing. It don't have a thing in this world to do with physical healing. It's talking about healing of your soul that is sin sick. That's what it's talking about. By his stripes we were healed. Now, I believe in the atonement, that healing's in the atonement, but we won't get a healing for the body till the rapture of the church when we get our new body. That's when we'll get our body healed. You know what's amazing about Jesus? He still loved those deceived people there at Laodicea. He still loved those people. Folks, you may be highfalutin, or you may be as poor as Job's turkey. But God loves you and he wants you to be saved and enjoy his glory forever. Amen. But you have to repent of your sin. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. And then you're called to live a holy life, folks. You're called to live a holy life before the Lord. There's nothing here in this world worth missing heaven and being with Jesus. Think about that. Nothing here worth missing heaven and being with Jesus. While Jesus is rebuking the church of the Laodicean, it's even sadder to see Jesus is standing outside of the church in Revelation 3:20. Listen to this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. This is what Jesus is doing today. He's standing at the heart of sinners wanting to come in and give them eternal life. Amen. Think about that. Somebody... see if he's all right. This is what Jesus is doing. He's at the heart of sinners wanting to come in and give them eternal life. Look at the church today. Look at the world today. Jesus said it'd be like the days of Noah when the flood came and drowned everybody. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Our world today, look at all the unrest, the evil, the division, the hate. So much hate in our world today. And the church will be raptured before the tribulation and the Antichrist is revealed. Rebellious children, proud, arrogant people, unholy people, lovers of pleasures, and those who have religion will face the horrors of the tribulation time. So the tribulation time could come at any moment once the church is raptured out. And with all the evil in this world today, all that's going on today in our world, it's not just in this country. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. It's not easy to be a Christian in these days. We're tested. We're taken advantage of. We're mistreated. We're despised, but we must keep the faith. Keep on following the Lord every day. I don't know how much persecution we're going to face, folks. But we may it might get very serious. We got leaders, they don't care about us. All the Lord has given us enough oil to help supply other people, and yet we got leaders cutting our oil off for their agenda. And that's a mistreatment to us. And think about all these ships or boats, whatever they are out there in the ocean. They can't even get them unloaded. They don't have enough people to unload them. Don't have enough truck drivers. People won't work. Folks, something's going to pop after a while. I'm telling you, something's going to pop. Well, you and I are to keep living for the Lord. Keep being faithful to the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Keep sharing the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to quit. Amen? The Bible says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. To sup with Jesus means to reign with Him. Can y'all imagine one day reigning with Jesus Christ forever? Reigning with the Lord. We're going to be with Him. We won't ever be separated. We're going to be the bride of Christ. We'll always be with Jesus, folks. So, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Him forever over the universe and over the angels. We're going to be over the angels. And the Bible says to every one of us who is saved, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior. To Him be glory both now and forever. Please don't be satisfied where you're at spiritually. Don't be satisfied. Seek to know more about the Lord and how to serve the Lord. Seek to make our church a church that's pleasing to the Lord, praying for one another, trying to get out the gospel to other people. Let's don't get satisfied. Let's keep marching on, working, loving together. Jesus was not satisfied when we were lost. So He came to die so we could live. We must die to ourselves and live fully for Jesus' church. We are a separated people, a sanctified people. We are a holy people. We are God's people. And so as we look at the church of Laodicea to see that it's a church that's self-satisfied, we should never be self-satisfied with where we're at in our Christian experience. But we should ever seek to know the Lord more, reading His Word, hearing His Word, and live by the Word is the most important things in our life. And may God speak to hearts today. Do you know the Lord today, really? If you don't, we invite you to the Lord. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar this morning and bow before the Lord. Seek the face of the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you grow in the Lord. Ask the Lord to use you in getting out His Word that others might know the Lord.